This is Business Dimensions. Expert insights for your business with host Deborah Burns of Crystal River Advisors. How do you take control and conquer the biggest challenges you face? Learn from leading experts on today's show. Unlock solutions to your most difficult business problems. Now here's your host, Deborah Burns, on 770 KKOB.
Good evening. This is Deborah Burns. I'm the host of the show of Business Dimensions, Expert Insights for Your Business. I'm also the managing partner of Crystal River Advisors, LLC. Crystal River Advisors helps business owners focus on their business potential, performance, and profit, and get more of all three. You can learn more at crystalriveradvisors.com. Tonight, our host is Jim Eaton of Business Acquisitions, LLC. He's also the sponsor of the show, and we want to thank you for that, Jim. Business Acquisitions, LLC is a business here in town that focuses on helping business owners buy and sell their business. And Jim is the head and owner of Business Acquisitions, LLC. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Deborah, for inviting me to the show. This is really an exciting opportunity.
Well, I'm really delighted to have you because I know from working with a lot of business owners that ultimately many of them plan to sell their business when they no longer want to be working, and yet it's a very complex and a very important transaction in their lives. And so we want to spend this evening talking about some of the highlights and the key things to consider when you're thinking about selling your business. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Jim?
Okay, well, I'm a business broker, sometimes called a business intermediary. I'm also a New Mexico associate real estate broker. I'm also a CPA for both New Mexico and Texas. My background includes 35 years as a CPA in CPA firms in Houston, so I'm not a native New Mexican. But I also had 2 years as president of a 40-employee manufacturing company, and for the past 5 years I've been working as a business broker here in Albuquerque.
Well, we've been delighted to have you here because I know you've helped a lot of sellers get a good execution on their business. And before you came to New Mexico 5 years ago, I know you were involved, even when you had your CPA firm, in some pretty big transactions, both the sale of businesses for your clients, some multinational companies and that sort of thing, as well as smaller businesses.
Yes. As a CPA, I did a lot of transaction work for my clients, mostly advising the buyers or the sellers of the business. The sellers were primarily my clients, and buyers were also my clients. Sometimes I would work as a broker where I'd actually go out and find the buyer for a business where the business owner asked me to do that. There was one time when there was a death of a veterinarian, and we had to find a buyer very fast for his practice, and so they had me do the whole transaction for him.
So you found you like that more than doing tax returns?
Oh, I love it a lot more than doing tax returns. And well, I think everybody can understand that there's no tax season.
That's right. Well, and you got to be a special kind of person to love doing tax returns, I got to say. So tell me, Jim, what are some of the things that business owners need to take into account? Or what are some of the reasons they need to consider selling their business?
Well, no, there's a lot of different reasons why they want to sell a business. It could be that their business worries keep them awake at night. There's a serious illness, maybe a death, like I just mentioned. Could be a divorce or a partnership breaking up, whether it's a shareholder or a partner. Business owners are often worried about making payroll this week.
Oh, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. And they're also worried about the payroll taxes and preparing the forms. And sometimes the thought of employee problems make them want to go to the psychiatrist instead of going to work. And there's lots of reasons. Family vacations are about laptops and cell phones, but not having fun.
Well, and you know, you don't want to get to that point before you start thinking about preparing to sell for your sell your business, right? Because you need some lead time, don't you?
That is correct. One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that the sale of their business usually is not going to produce enough money for them to retire on. So it's something to think about well ahead of time. And that's one of the reasons business owners often sell, is they want to retire. And so it's a process where they have to be thinking well enough ahead of time that there's enough money for them to retire and maintain the lifestyle that they want to maintain after they sold their business.
Right. And our September 1st show actually addressed that, the whole retirement issue around the sale of a business. So feel free to listen to the podcast if you want to go back to that. But so the point is, start preparing early, right?
That is correct.
You don't want to be burned out and tired of your employees when you're getting ready to sell your business.
Well, one of the things people ask me often is, what is the best time to start preparing for the sale of a business? The real answer is before you start your business. You want to know before you open your doors what your exit plan is. If you can have that up front, you're going to be much more successful on the back end, particularly if you're dealing with your partners or other business owners. If you know up front how you're going to get out of the business or out of the arrangement with the partners and business other business associates, then that's going to help you get the process moving a whole lot more smoothly.
You're so right. And you know, the other thing is, many businesses actually run better when you have that long-term goal in mind, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I do. And it takes a good mindset to make sure that you're operating your business with that goal in mind. Not all businesses continue forever. But if you have the process in mind that you're going to sell your business at some point in time, you have a much better chance of having it happen successfully.
Okay. So why don't you take us through some of the steps that we need to think about in terms of the selling process?
Generally, the selling process should begin about 3 years before you're ready to sell. Of course, if there's certain circumstances that come up unexpectedly, then you don't have to have that much time. But 3 years gives you the time to have the first year in the three-year process. You're cleaning up mistakes. You're cleaning up the business. You're getting things ready to go. And the second year, you finish those processes. And then in the third year, you have clean financial statements to give to a potential buyer.
That is one of the bare minimum requirements, right?
It really is.
You got to have generally accepted accounting principle type financials that are complete, accurate, reliable, because you don't want to be caught misrepresenting the financial health of the business.
And,
right?
And that's one of the things my CPA background helps him with a lot, is being able to tell the business owner, hey, you've got this stuff on your financial statement. We need to clean this up.
Right. And so what are some of the other things that we need to think about in the process?
Well, you need to think about how much time it takes to sell the business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an overnight process. It's very, very rare when a business buyer is waiting right around the corner. And so you better plan on usually a minimum of 90 days. The normal time for a business to sell is about a year. And some of them will take 2 years, and some will take even longer than that, depending on the economic conditions of the time and the shape of the business and what we're asking for the business.
Right. So you want to be realistic in terms of what your expectations are and timing, because obviously you're trying to get the best price for this business. You've worked your entire career or a big part of it, and you don't want to shortchange that.
Yes, and you need to, as soon as you decide that you're going to sell, then you start needing to work on the process of deciding how you're going to sell your business. So in working on that, there are several different ways that the business can be sold. You can sell it to your employees. You can give it to a family member. You can do a for sale by owner. You can hire an attorney. You could also use a business broker like me to help you get through it. Keeping in mind that when you're working with your business and you're trying to sell it, you need to figure out what kind of buyer is going to buy your business.
Right, because there's a variety of types of buyer groups, right?
Yes, there are. And the basic types of your buyer groups are financial buyers. These are people that are basing their decision to buy your business totally on the financial statements, totally on the profits and the cash flow of the business. And they don't really intend to operate the business and do it like a lifestyle business.
Right.
The best buyer normally is a strategic buyer, which is somebody that's already in your industry that just wants to expand their marketplace. They're usually going to pay the highest price for it. Another type of buyer is a lifestyle buyer, a job buyer, somebody that wants to get out of the rat race get out of the corporate world, or maybe their company downsized and they need to find another thing to do and they just don't want to go back to the corporate world.
Well, that makes it pretty clear. And so I guess one of the rules of thumb I've heard from the financial buyers is that they often expect to kind of get their purchase price repaid in a certain period of time from the expected cash flow. Is that right?
That is correct. And it depends so much on the business itself and what that time period is going to be. The bigger businesses will have a longer time period that the financial investor will be able to recover their money. The smaller businesses usually want to recover the money more quickly. And
maybe 4 or 5 years?
Sometimes two.
Really?
Yes.
Really? So they may not be the best in terms of maximizing the price. Usually the strategic buyers, and those are folks that maybe in the same business, the same industry, want to expand or need new product lines, that sort of thing, and they just find that the acquisition is more attractive than growing internally. Is that right?
Well, yes. Normally it's much faster to buy something than it is to start something from scratch.
Right.
That's a whole other topic is how to buy a business, but it's almost always faster, better cash flow, and a better startup to buy a business than start one from scratch.
Okay. All right. So what's the next thing that we need to think about besides the types of buyers?
Well, once you've decided that you're going to sell the business and you're looking for the type of buyer, you need to find a business intermediary if you're not going to do it yourself. And when you do that, you're going to have an initial meeting with the broker. And at the broker, it's best to bring them in 3 years of financial statements and 3 years of tax returns. And that's primarily after you've decided that you want to use the broker. You need to kind of do a personality match with a broker to make sure that you've got a good fit personality-wise with the broker so that you don't wind up getting at odds with each other during the process, because that can turn disastrous.
Right, right.
At the second meeting, you need to start working on what the business plan is with the broker and start getting the agreement with the broker on how to list the business. When you list the business, you sign an agreement that usually is for a year, sometimes a little bit less, and sometimes even longer, depending on the type of business.
Okay. So that's kind of like selling another asset. You have a listing agreement with your broker.
Right. It's sometimes the businesses will have real estate involved, and we'll usually use two different agreements. One for the real estate because of the real estate commission laws here in the state of New Mexico, and most other states it's similar, and then another agreement for the actual sale of the business.
Okay. So then do you go through the process of actually listing the business?
Yes, we do. And the listing is nothing more than actually signing the paperwork and agreeing that we're going to work together to find a buyer for your business.
Okay.
But then you've got to get your business ready to sell.
Right.
And
does that entail? I'm almost afraid to ask.
Well, if you've done everything ahead of time, it's not a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the norm. The norm is you've got to get a lot of your house cleaned up in order to make sure that the business is truly ready for sale.
We mentioned financials, so what are some of the other things that you should make sure are in order?
Well, you want to make sure that you don't have a lot of old, obsolete inventory.
Okay.
You want to get rid of it. If you have non-productive assets, you want to get rid of that. If you have family members in the business, well, it may be painful, but you probably need to have them find other places to work.
Because they may not be kept on. Basically.
That is correct, and sometimes the buyers are rather reluctant to take on family members from the seller because they may leave and start a competing business, and that becomes a problem.
Right, right. Okay, so now you've got your business listed, you're getting your house in order. What comes next?
Well, the business broker will prepare a confidential memorandum for buyers and prepare a preliminary listing for the website. The broker will then begin marketing for the buyers. Usually we use the internet and to list them on multiple websites, and never giving enough information about the business so that a buyer could identify which business it is. Because it could be really disastrous if it leaks out that a particular business is for sale. Some businesses, it doesn't matter, but those are the rare ones. Most of them, it really matters if your customers, your vendors, your employees know the business is for sale.
Well, that's a good point. And so the listing will be innocuous enough that even your clients, your vendors, your employees don't really know. Because you kind of want to manage the information flow around listing your business. You don't want everybody to know up front, right?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay. So we'll come back to that. But what's next?
Well, next thing is actually trying to get a qualified buyer in and looking at the qualified buyer. And whenever we have a buyer, we make them sign a non-disclosure agreement, NDA. And the non-disclosure agreement prevents the buyer from disclosing any of the facts about the business or financially benefiting from the information they obtained during this process. It protects the seller, and it keeps the buyer from talking to employees without the seller being aware of what's going on. And fairly often, in the next step of the process, the buyer will start meeting with the seller.
Mm-hmm.
And during that process, it's very often it's going to be at the broker's office. Sometimes it's at the buyer's office. More frequently, it's actually at the seller's office. So it has to be in a setting where the employees aren't going to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And frequently, when the buyer is in there, he's introduced as an investor, a potential investor for the business, and a lot of employees are told to cooperate because the buyer will need financial information. Frequently, the broker will want to run some interference between the buyer and the seller.
Right.
And make sure that the questions between the buyer and the seller are open, straightforward, and understood by both parties.
Because, that makes a lot of sense. Just to avoid any miscommunication, misunderstanding, that sort of thing.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
And the buyer is going to want to interview certain employees to make sure they want to retain those employees. You know, employees sometimes have a right to be nervous about the transition to a new buyer. But most of the time, the buyer wants the employees because without the employees, the business really doesn't have as much value.
Yeah, that continuity factor of having some folks that really know the business inside and out is so valuable.
Yes, it is. Along the next step usually is that the buyer will either do a asset purchase agreement,
mm-hmm.
APA, or a purchase agreement, or a letter of intent. There's a key difference between the two. A letter of intent is non-binding, and an asset purchase agreement or a purchase agreement is binding.
Okay.
And one of the big significance there is that the agreement has to be precise. It has to be well worded. If it's done correctly, that's where the majority of negotiation gets done, is getting that purchase agreement correct and setting all the terms correctly in the agreement to the buyer.
Well, and that's where having an experienced business broker who really knows all the things you need to include, how to address things appropriately, really, you know, facilitates the process, right?
That's right. Now, once the purchase agreement is agreed to, and one of the key things is that a letter of intent is usually used on much larger business. A smaller business, a business that sells for under $1 million, almost always is an asset purchase agreement as opposed to a letter of intent. Asset purchase agreements require earnest money down.
Okay. Well, and the other thing, too, is if you have a letter of intent, they may want to do due diligence, which is a more involved process.
Due diligence can be done no matter which approach you use. And it's very important that the due diligence be done correctly. It can either be very, very quick in a very small business, or it can be very lengthy. I've done a due diligence process that took a little over 2 months to complete.
Okay. But it's a very thorough investigation and validation of the business before the buyer actually closes on the purchase, right?
Yes, it is. It's not an audit of the business, but it is a specific set of procedures that you want to have competent, qualified professionals do for you to make sure that the numbers and the representations that the seller has given to you are accurate.
And a seller wants to be very forthcoming because they don't want to have anything coming back at them after the closing.
That's normally correct.
Yeah, okay.
And the buyers are paranoid about that.
Right, right. All right, well, let's wrap this up then on the process. So then there's the document preparation and closing.
Yeah, there's two forms of doing document preparation, and one way is to use a transaction law firm, and that's normally a less expensive way to go. However, if you have a buyer that is accustomed to buying lots of businesses, they're going to have their own internal documents, and so you're going to wind up using their documents prepared by the buyer.
So you have to negotiate those.
Yeah, you do. But the transaction law firms frequently do the bulk of the document preparation, and they do it usually on a less expensive method or less expensive basis than you wind up using a regular attorney for.
Right, because that's what pretty much all they do. And then you got to plan for the transition of the business.
Right. After you've closed the business, then you got to plan on the transition. And the transition is very critical, particularly where there's seller financing involved. If the transition doesn't go first, doesn't go smoothly, the selling business owner may not get all their note paid. So the seller has a very significant interest in making sure that the buyer understands the business and can operate the business correctly. Now, the buyer is very interested also in that happening.
Yeah.
And
we mentioned in this process the critical nature of the broker's role. Are there some people that try to do it without a broker, and what is the downfall there?
Yeah, there are. And some people can do it effectively. When I sold my CPA firm, I decided I couldn't do it effectively, even though I had used other people. Or been a business broker for other people. It's just one of those things that it's going to distract from your day-to-day operations, and it's going to...
You can't do a good job of that and running the business.
That's why I used a broker when I sold my CPA firm.
Right, right.
And it was a very, very smart decision.
Okay. Well, we're getting near the end of the show, but I think it's fair that you let people know a little bit about how brokers get paid.
I think it's important, too, and there's a lot of confusion there.
Is there really?
There's a couple of different methods that brokers use to get paid. There's some that want monthly retainers to get paid, and they start charging upfront fees. Bigger businesses will have a very significant upfront fee that they have to pay to the broker. Most of us charge a commission that's on a sliding scale, and so businesses at $1 million and less, usually the commission is 12%.
Okay, and it can go down if you're up to $50 million to 2%, but probably
yes,
you're going to be in the 6 to 12% range, depending on the size of your business.
That's correct, and frequently, if there's real estate, the real estate will go at a 6% commission, and the business will go at 12.
Well, Jim, this has been great. I know we did sort of the speed reading version of what you got to do and know about selling your business, but how can someone reach you if they want to talk more about this topic?
Well, I'm willing to talk to business owners that want to sell their business, and I don't charge for the consultation. And one of the things I do offer is that I will give them a free valuation or estimation of what I think the business will sell for.
Oh, that's great.
Now, I'm not going to spend days on that valuation, but I will spend a couple of hours on it and give you an idea of what we think we can sell it for.
That's great. So how do they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 505-918-9900. They can email me at eaton@biz-acq.com.
Hey, why don't you give us that number one more time?
505-918-9900. And also have a website, business-acquisitions.com.
Great. Well, if you haven't, if you just joined us, we've been talking to Jim Eaton of Business Acquisition LLC about how to sell your business. and you're listening to Business Dimensions, Expert Insights for Your Business. We're on the air every Sunday at 5 p.m. on 770 KKOB. You can listen to the show again on our podcast at crystalriveradvisors.com. We look forward to seeing you next week at 770 KKOB.